Jonathan McAlpin is Director of Operations for the Ulster Community Investment Trust. We invite him to take the podium now, and right after this, your questions and comments. Keep tweeting them. Be afraid, Jonathan. Be very afraid. Go for it.
Believe me, William, I am very afraid, particularly with these spotlights glaring in my eyes, but I'll do what I can. Firstly, can I just thank NICFA for the opportunity to speak to you today and for the invite, albeit the last-minute invite. Apologies for Seamus, who unfortunately can't make it with us today, but as I say, it has been a bit last-minute, so forgive me if my presentation isn't as comprehensive as Seamus's, or maybe a bit disjointed, but we'll see how we go, and if I can work this. Yeah, there we go. So I've been given the topic of looking at integrating values into the good economy and the triple bottom line. What I thought I would do initially is to just look through these general comments. Firstly, what is social enterprise and the triple bottom line? People might understand that, but I'll just run over it anyway, what I think. Have a look at just how big the social economy is, and importantly, or more importantly, what relevance it has to the wider economy. What can the social economy bring to helping rebalancing the economy? I'm going to finish off with a few case studies looking at our own organisation in USAID, and just as a bit of a tip of the hat to Seamus, also to mention Ordis. With a few concluding comments. So firstly, just to look at the social enterprise, what is that and what is a triple bottom line? Well, I'm not going to get into the whole area of definition about social enterprise, because if I did, we'd be here all day and we could probably have another conference on that. So I'll not talk about that in any detail, but important to say, and I suppose the key point I want to make, is social enterprises, first and foremost, are enterprises. They're businesses which embrace a business practice. And in so doing, they need to be profitable, and they need to ensure that they are embracing the best practices of good business practice. But they're also, importantly, there for a purpose, and the purpose is a social purpose, social mission. And that's where we bring into the triple bottom line. We have the three pillars of that triple bottom line, which are the profit, without which these enterprises can't be sustainable, they can't grow, and they can't deliver anything. But importantly, there's also the social return, and that's about making a difference to people's lives. That's the people in the triple bottom line. It is about making sure that these enterprises are there to ultimately bring about a difference. And the third element of the triple bottom line is the environmental. And these businesses being conscious of the contribution they make to the planet and to sustainability there. And as Joanne's mentioned, this is something which is critical and core to social enterprises, but doesn't necessarily need to be exclusive to social enterprises. Private sector enterprises, I think, are becoming more and more conscious of the need to look at the triple bottom line. That's gone the other way, isn't it? How big is the social economy? Well, probably partly because of the confusion around definition and what we all talk about as social economy, it's not easy to get specific, detailed and verifiable figures on this. But some figures that have been quoted, in the UK there's over 62,000 social enterprises employing over 464,000 people, bringing in $24 billion of turnover to the economy each year. Bringing that locally, in Northern Ireland, we have an excess of 1,000 social enterprises creating jobs for 20,000 people and turning over 350 million per annum. So not insignificant in its own right. But sometimes I believe these bare statistics can often hide the more significant relevance that the social economy can bring to the wider economy. At its core, the social economy plays a specific role in addressing disadvantage. It addresses market failure, and it often operates in areas and in situations where the private sector hasn't or won't engage. It contributes to what the Minister earlier identified as a key economic priority, which is to tackle long-term unemployment, to remove poverty, and to promote equality. So the social economy has certainly a key role to play in all of that. But there is another important role which the social economy can play, and I think is often overlooked, and that is as a provider of key economic infrastructure, particularly at a local level. If we look at, for example, the credit union movement, which has been with us for many years now, that has made access to finance available to people from the most disadvantaged of our communities, people who often were excluded from access to that finance from mainstream institutions. And as such, that's bringing cash and funds into local communities that's allowing people to circulate that cash and that's allowing to foster economic activity in those communities. Housing associations, as we know, have often have been involved for many years now at trying to tackle the housing problems that we have suffered historically in Northern Ireland. And it's part of the reason why we see such high-quality social housing now in the most disadvantaged communities and why people now have a much greater standard of living in their own homes. The two case studies that I want to highlight and that I want to leave you with will look at the other two areas. And firstly, I'm going to look at my own organisation, UCIT, or the Ulster Community Investment Trust. We're an organisation, a social enterprise, that provides financial infrastructure. We invest into the social economy, and our success comes from the fact that we do embrace a business model. We are about making profit, but we are about reinvesting that profit, regenerating that profit, ultimately to bring about social good and a social mission. So we haven't reinvested any profits that we have made in building the capital base that we then use to invest into social enterprises. To give you some key statistics, since we've been operating from 2001, UCIT has used the £12 million of capital investment that it secured from various different sources, mostly public sources, to invest over £30 million worth of investment into community infrastructure by recycling the funds through repayable loans. Over this same period of time, we've also grown that capital base from £12 million to £15 million by retaining profits and bringing those profits in-house and reinvesting those back into the capital that goes out to the community infrastructure. Over 200 social enterprises and community organisations have been helped by us during this period, and that's brought about roughly 2,000 direct jobs. And all of these jobs will have been in the most difficult-to-reach areas of our communities. Indirectly, an estimate of a further 6,000 jobs beyond that in terms of how those social enterprises are employing people beyond this and spinning out other enterprises and other projects. For our own organisation, we've been investing this on a very broad basis right across Northern Ireland, and you can see from this map that on the right-hand side as you're looking, there's a wide range of organisations. Clearly, there's a cluster around Belfast and Derry, but you'll see that it does go right across all of rural Northern Ireland. And indeed, recently, we've gone cross-border, so we are in ourselves an exporter, and we're exporting our business model into the south, where we've now got approximately €2 million invested in a number of projects in that marketplace. The Minister earlier mentioned about the importance of tourism as a key sector to drive economic growth, and that's one of the sectors that we have invested in. You can see there's about 12% or so in that area. But really, this chart gives you more of a view of the breadth of investments. We're putting our funds into social enterprises, into community organisations, and as such, you'll see that these organisations are operating right across the breadth of the entire economy. And I think it's an important point to make, because sometimes we think that the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Investment as the key lead department for responsibility for social enterprise is where it finishes. But it doesn't. Social enterprise cuts across all departments and needs to be recognised as an important brief within every department. You'll see and you'll note there from the very large sector of workspace, office and retail, over 50% of our investments have been into business infrastructure. And that's an important point, that what we're doing is we're providing the infrastructure to help businesses grow and breathe. And that's a very clear example of where social enterprise and private enterprise work very closely and very well together when they work well together. To give you a couple of examples of case studies, a few projects that we've done here, you'll see an initiative of Filer Housing Association in North Belfast. You can see very clearly from the slide that the dereliction that was faced in that particular block has been regenerated and renovated by the Housing Association and brought back into social use. And in this one in West Belfast, we can see the facilities that children had to put up with in New Hill in West Belfast for many years in very dilapidated porta-cabin facilities. And with investment that we and others helped with, they were able to produce a multi-purpose childcare centre. Important point to make about this is not only that does this bring important and very necessary infrastructure into a local disadvantaged community that brings children the facilities that they need and deserve. But it also brings opportunity for adults and parents in these communities to know that their children are safe and are being cared for in this environment, and gives them the opportunity to engage in training and employment opportunities. In itself, an important economic issue about trying to regenerate and bring people back into the economic cycle. That was a very whirlwind tour through USAID, and I'm not going to say much more about that. I know these slides will be available after the conference, so you can have a look at these, but those are our details if you do want to get more information from us and look at this. And I see William getting ready to come and introduce his next bit, but hold your horses, because there's still a bit more to come. The next bit being the second case study, and that's about Enterprise Northern Ireland is the one I wanted just to highlight here very briefly, because I did mention that we've invested over 50% of our funds into business infrastructure. And Enterprise Northern Ireland is a key proponent of business, physical business infrastructure and professional infrastructure that brings support to growing the local economy. Enterprise Northern Ireland comprises over 30 agencies, all of which are social enterprises. So this is a social enterprise network. And this social enterprise network itself employs 200 staff directly. It accommodates over 2 million square feet of workspace. And in that, that's accommodating over 2,000 small businesses, small private businesses. Those small private businesses in their own turn are then bringing employment to a further 7,500 people. So there's significant growth being fostered through the infrastructure that Enterprise Northern Ireland is bringing there. And you can see from some stats that I just took off their website that the business support that can often be offered there under the Business Start programme in 2006-2008 created or promoted over 17,000 new business starts, bringing employment to over 49,000 people and 1.2 billion of revenue into the Northern Ireland economy. So it's not insignificant, and all of that is infrastructure, is activity that is being accommodated through infrastructure that is hosted within the social economy. My final comments are going to be about a USAID customer and an Enterprise Northern Ireland agency member, which is Ortis. And it's really just, as I say, a tip of the hat to Seamus, who should have been here speaking to you earlier today. Ortis is an organisation which is located on the Peace Line between the Shanklin Falls Road, an area that at the time anyway, private sector certainly wasn't too keen to engage with at that point. And they've done great work there to regenerate that area and bring economic activity to the area. In a minute, I'm going to leave you with a short video, I think, if it's going to work, which will show the work of Ortis. But I want you to think that when you're watching this video, don't just think about Ortis. Think that this is one of over 30 agencies, all of which are doing the similar sorts of activities right across the country, not just in urban, but also in rural areas. This is the sort of work that you're going to see businesses and social enterprises in practice. My final comments, and just to conclude, I suppose it's just to state that my view again is that the social economy is a key provider of infrastructure, and as this has a particularly important role to play in growing the economy. Will Hutton's earlier point that he made about worker cooperatives, that's something that could sit very well within a social economy model that could bring labour infrastructure to bolster the economy. And before looking at the DVD, the final thing I want to say is that the social economy, it is an important player. It is an important player in supporting future economic growth. And by embracing the private sector, the best of private sector economic efficiencies, but also remaining clearly focused on the social mission, I believe the social economy is at the heart of the good economy. I'll leave you with the last and final words for Seamus, since he was meant to be here in the first place. And pass you on to the Ortis video if you want to run that. Thank you.
Ortis was set up in 1988 by a voluntary set of directors who felt very strongly that there's a need for commercial activity to happen in West Belfast. We are a property management and development company. We also, as one of our strands, manage quite a number of other properties in Belfast and Lisburn for developers.
We offer a full range of services from those people considering a self-employment but haven't actually made the decision yet through to our people that have decided to actually start up in business through to supporting individuals who are already in business.
I'd come from a redundancy situation where I hadn't any experience of working for myself, so Ordis really just gave me the options that were available to me if I wanted to set up on my own.
We have a full variety of methods of outreach. They vary from going out physically into the community, speaking to people directly.
Anytime I've ever needed a helping hand, where I may have came to a stumbling block, they've always been there. I can pick up the phone and just get a friendly person on the end of it who are more than willing to help out.
Because my business is actually situated in the complex that Ordis is based in, I can find that I can lift the phone anytime.
All our staff members are members of the Institute of Business Consulting, which is a standard that allows us to know the quality that we're providing our clients and our customers. Let us know that the quality is where it should be.
Ordis have been extremely helpful. The knowledge, the range of business contacts that they have has been instrumental in growing our business over the last 12 months.
I would say we would have maybe about 300 to 400 businesses and individuals coming through our door every year.
They showed me how to get my name registered, my business name registered, how to get website name domains secured, and then afterwards how to actually develop your own web page.
We help individuals who are thinking about purchasing a franchise, and we also do the other side of things, Indigenous businesses that are thinking about developing their own franchise, so we do both sides of that service.
Ordis is a social enterprise, which means primarily that we're involved in a new and vibrant sector within Northern Ireland. We reinvest any profits that we make back into supporting the business community, the local community, schools, youth groups, sporting clubs and that kind of stuff. So we have a very, very strong social ethos about making sure that we give back. That's also one of our social ethoses, our social impacts that we do, is we make sure that when we're renting our property, we're renting at a cheaper than commercial rate.
We certainly moved here because of the location, closeness to the city and the motorway, but we didn't really realise that they'd be helping us out so much. So marketing, even down to any kind of problems that we've had, which have been minimal. Security certainly is great here, and we've absolutely no complaints whatsoever.
Ordis has been a great experience straight from the beginning. They've all been very helpful with all my business needs.
It's certainly helped my business grow within the last 4 years, at least 300%.
Terrific. Yes, you can applaud.
Of course you can.
All right, brilliant. So we have 10 minutes. We're back on time, by the way. Thank you for your timekeeping this afternoon. When we come back after 3 o'clock today, we'll have David McWilliams, one of Ireland's big brains, one of the best-known public figures now in Ireland. And if you enjoyed that Will Hutton session in the morning, you'll love the keynote session from David Williams in the afternoon, a little advert for the after 3 session. So, comments, questions for Joanne and Jonathan. Who'd like to kick off? Different parts of the room. We've inspired you. Thank you very much. Brilliant. Go ahead.
I'll go first then. Thank you very much for your presentations. Something that just really struck me in both your presentations, Joanne, you talked about the triple bottom line, which was finance, I can't now remember what
social
it was.
Social and environmental.
And environmental. And Jonathan, then you talked about profit, people and planet. And something that just really strikes me between business and the social is the gap and the difference in the language used. And I wonder, is it something useful that could happen to maybe try and overcome that, to come together and use something that, you know, that we're kind of singing from the same hymn sheet or something? It's just, it's really, really struck me just with both presentations.
I think that that's true, that, you know, there are some things that there is a bit around language. Interestingly, business in the community actually have changed, and they're now people, place and profit. around that. But I think that language sometimes distracts from the fact that, you know, we are thinking the same things and we're in the same place. And it's like we've had the whole discussion around what is social enterprise, what is a social economy, and it comes to the point where actually you can spend so much time talking about the definition without actually sort of getting on and doing these things. And I think what happens is naturally the two will come together and we will come to a common language.
Yeah, just to add, I would agree with what John said. I mean, I think that... what I had there, I think, was people, profit, people, and planet, which, to me, is equating to profit, social, and environmental. It is essentially the same thing, but I do understand that we can sort of sometimes see the issue is about language, and I think the broader point, coming from the social economy perspective, I think that we have had a fear of being able to talk the business language and to speak in terms that our private sector colleagues understand, and maybe there is a bit of the other way around. And I do think that it's important that we find a way that we can have the confidence to understand that we're both valued, we both have a very important role to play in building the economy, and that we are confident to talk and to work together and not to get too hung up on definition or specifics.
Jonathan, what do you think of Joanne's claim that not-for-profit is a misnomer?
I would absolutely agree with it entirely, because another way I've heard social economy talked about is more than profit. Not-for-profit has been something that has been actually a bit of a chain around our neck for a long time, because what it's done is it's made people fear profit. There's a guy called Liam Black who used to work with Jamie Oliver's 15, and prior to that in various other social initiatives. He tends to, if he's starting a speech, get people all to stand up in the audience and say, right, I want you to say and repeat to me, profit is good. Because usually the people that he's talking to are third sector people who are fearful of profit, and they've become fearful of profit because they've kept off being told, it's not for profit. Well, it is, but it's for more than profit.
Joanne, do you think that this is a journey of not just language understanding, but motivational understanding, that you're both working ultimately for the same goal?
Yes, and that's why I said in my presentation, this is not a one-way thing. This is two-way, and I think we're both learning from each other. I think with business people, you know, because you've seen a lot of business people who'd have been in the private sector now have become social entrepreneurs, you know, creating social enterprises. At the end of the day, we all want to address our social issues. We have to be cognizant of the social impact and the environmental impact that we have on everything that we do. I think within the private sector we have been doing this, but maybe not in a way that is really recognised or measured. I think globally there's a bit more for very large corporate organisations, and that you've got the global reporting initiative with the likes of a Starbucks or a Marks and Spencers, you know, where you can really see it. But for the smaller businesses, it's being done, but we're not recognising it and not maybe talking in the same language. So therefore, sometimes we think we're doing different things. But actually, I think we're coming more and more together and realising that there's more that we can do together. But we've also got to acknowledge that we both have a very important role to play in taking this economy forward.
Joanne's from the private sector, Jonathan from the social enterprise sector. Question to them, just a few minutes left.
Thank you. The Minister made reference to the programme for government and the economic strategy. If you had an opportunity to make a last-minute contribution to either of those drafts in ways which would stimulate the social economy, what would you include?
Answers in a postcard, please.
Well, if an initial comment, and it's actually back to a point that you yourself made earlier, but I think opening up procurement would be one. I think we definitely need to try to find a way that we can enable and assist our social enterprises to become more engaged in the public procurement process and to win contracts locally. And another call I would have is for investment. We in the same way as in the private sector, it's same also for social economy, that there isn't sufficient access to different forms of investment. And what we're seeing in my world happening in England through things like Big Society Bank and all other sorts of initiatives that are going on in England that don't go beyond England, aren't coming across here. I would like to see programme government dealing with that and bringing more investment to the table.
Arlene Foster today said she would take that message back. She gets it everywhere, the procurement problem. Yeah. What do you understand to be the problem? We know the consequence of it, but why is it happening?
Well, I think there are legal issues there which are difficult, and I know those are difficult to deal with because they probably go beyond the UK, they go to Europe. But there is also a fear. There's statistics I read recently, which I'm not going to quote because I can't remember them, but it was that there is a significant number of contracts which are very low-value contracts which could be won by private small enterprises and social enterprises. But a lot of these enterprises are fearful. They don't understand the process. They're afraid of the process. They feel they maybe don't have sufficient scale. They're maybe afraid of what's needed to address that in terms of working cooperatively or collaboratively. And it's intervention that could try to break down the fear and help organisations working together.
The interesting thing about that, though, is it's exactly the same challenges for SMEs as it is for social enterprise. And I think, and that was something when I was in the IOD working with the Social Economy Network, which was really what opened my eyes to actually, at the end of the day, we're facing the same challenges here, and therefore, by working together, we can help to address some of those. And procurement is absolutely one of them. And you just going back to the strategy, because one of them I would have said is encourage more partnership. Because you know we do have to find a way of collaborating much better to give us some scale, but also the other area for me is that we have to look at how we deliver public services and within our economy, the public sector I think should be a commissioner of services, and I think that would really help to drive both the SME and the social enterprise sector in delivering services.
And do you think local companies should get special status when it comes to Northern Ireland executive departments and their procurement or their jobs?
Well, I think there are other places that do that well. I mean, obviously there are rules, but there are, you know, I also think there are ways of, you know, weighting different procurements and tenders, and also supporting companies in helping them to apply for them to make sure that, you know, we are giving ourselves the best chance.
That but wouldn't exactly be the free market at work, though, would it?
Well, it's not. What I'm saying is that you don't give it to somebody who doesn't deserve to get it. I mean, what we've got to do is make sure that we're building the skills in our SMEs and in our social enterprise enterprises that have the ability to tender for those at a level that will enable them to get those contracts. And I think that is encouraging more collaboration to come together, but also we've got to do something around education so that, you know, because we've got great companies here, and there's nothing worse than seeing some of these contracts go outside of Northern Ireland, and you say, you know, we have to try and find ways of getting our companies doing more locally.
Do you want to briefly give this gentleman an answer to his question about the last minute addition to the economic
Well, I think
strategy.
I said about public sector becoming a commissioner of services.
Okay, that would
so
be
there's
your
more
addition.
Services being All delivered right. by social
You're happy enough with that. He's happy enough with that. Thank you very much.
The big bank is worth exploring. The big bank that Jonathan mentioned, the read across to Northern Ireland, the source of finance.
Yeah.
A kind of community bank.
Yeah, well, this big society bank initiative, which we have actually lobbied at Westminster to make sure it is extended, and they have said it will be, but we'll see.
Thank you very much. Jonathan and Joanne, let's thank them.